The home of the Suns run to the championship.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it underneath.
Yes!
It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kelly-Leonard.
The Suns are up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Burns and Gambo talk Suns Clippers now.
5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show.
What are you laughing at?
Sarah's retweeting a bunch of tweets that we're getting for the 10 seconds that we went off the air in that last segment.
Yeah.
Disappeared like Scott Foster's brain cells during last night's game, says Kelly. Brody says that 10 seconds had more suspense than the basket counts last night inside the arena. The Vince Murata call.
Yeah. 10 down, 6 to go, says, thought they were getting ready to launch Wolf and Gambo. Burnsy was done.
Oh, man.
Did Gambo strike another co-host? You okay, Burnsy?
Wow.
Gambo's got a reputation around here.
I've never punched Burnsy.
No. Notice how he said, I've never punched a co-host. Yeah. He just said, I've never punched Burnsy.
I've never punched Burnsy.
You know what? And I wouldn't if I were you. I would not because I punch back. I'm just going to go run right to HR. Right to HR. If you take a swing at me, it's right.
He'll be calling Sweet James.
I will not swing back. I'm just going to go right to HR. Sweet James and HR. That's who I'm going to call. I won't hit you back. I promise.
When you get hit by a co-host, you got to call Sweet James.
Right to the lawyers.
He's gonna take some swings.
That's good.
He won't be retiring anytime soon because he's got to pay you.
Yeah, that retirement villa in Italy. Yeah, it's mine now. Thank you, Gambo. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to retiring in Italy.
George Clooney, great to meet you. I'm Dave Burns.
Dave Burns, nice to meet you. I'm here because my co-host hit me. Yeah, nice to meet you. Oh, that's good stuff. We were off the air for like 10 seconds, but everything's fine. We're good. It was in the last segment, so if you missed it, you didn't miss a thing. All right, let's DeAndre Ayton.
I love him.
I know you too.
The kid's great. He's 22 years old, and he's already great. And I said last time, before we get into just the great game that he had and everything, you know, I said this earlier, and I truly believe this. The player he is today is not the player that I was defending for all those months. What he is right now...
The player he is today requires no defending.
It requires no defending how he's playing right now. I would not have been preaching patience with DeAndre Ayton and saying bigs take longer to develop and he's only 22 and I wouldn't have been doing that with this DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
He's arrived. He has arrived. The DeAndre Ayton that I defended so vehemently for so long was a shell of this.
Sure.
He was a shell. It was the thought of him becoming this that I defended. Not that this is... I defended my belief that he could be this.
Right.
That he would be this is what I was so vehemently defending. Because clearly this DeAndre Ayton was not the guy that I was defending months ago.
I think if we're going to put a finer point on it, of between the two of us, you were far more sure that this was the version of DeAndre Ayton that we were eventually going to see.
Yes.
I was not as sure. All right. And my evidence was the lack of effort, the lack of hustle, the lack of... I mean, he even said it last night after the game, man, I was not a gym rat before Monty Williams took over around here. I didn't spend my off days here. Monty says sometimes you just have to come in and smell the gym. You have to come in and just touch a basketball, right? And you have to do it every single day. It has to be a part of who you are. And he said it wasn't a part of who I was until Monty got here. And for me, I had more doubt that DeAndre Ayton would reach this stage just because I questioned the effort. I questioned the heart. I questioned whether he really loved it enough to pour his heart and his soul into it. I never advocated trading him. I was never one who said, oh, you got to get rid of him. He's a bum. He's a this. He's a that. I just didn't know if he was going to be the kind of player who would evolve into this. You were more sure of it than I was.
I was very sure of it.
I was looking at the DeAndre Ayton who just 3 months ago, Gambo, wasn't playing in the fourth quarter for the Phoenix Suns because they had better options. Think about how nuts that is right now to even ponder a world in which in March, DeAndre Ayton was a DNP coach's decision because you were going to get more effort out of Dario Saric than you were DeAndre. You were going to get someone who knew what they were doing better than DeAndre Ayton in Dario Saric. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that.
It is now, yes. I mean, but it's he wasn't playing well. There were things that he wasn't – he was everything that he was struggling with, not getting to his spots, not being aggressive, hesitant, you know, when he gets to the low pull, all of that stuff was stuff that they fixed. It was fixable things. It's not like he's Ben Simmons and he can't shoot a free throw and he doesn't want to fix it. He had stuff that he had to fix. They fixed it. Like, yeah. they fixed it. In a short amount of time, they fixed it. I don't think any of us thought that we would come out of these playoffs looking at DeAndre Ayton like he's an all-star next year. He's an all-NBA center. He's past Rudy Gobert. You've brought that up several times that you think right now he's better than Rudy Gobert. You'd rather have him than Gobert. I agree.
I think there are other coaches around the NBA who would feel exactly the same way. I'd rather, if I could pick one or the other, I'd pick DeAndre Ayton over Rudy Gobert.
Right.
I think there are coaches who believe
listen,
that.
Listen, the Luka conversation will go with them forever. And for a long time, the belief was, man, if he could just, you know, be a good player, like, okay, he'll never be as good as Luka. Well, why not? Why? Maybe he can be as good as Luka. Maybe he can be better. Maybe he could have a better career than Luka Doncic. When all is said and done, both kids could be dynamite, and his career might be better. It's possible.
Of course, it's not impossible.
It's,
yeah,
it's possible that he has a better career. Who knows what happens with Luka as he gets older? I mean, he's a terrific player now, but I mean, you know, he was advanced because of playing, you know, professional basketball. DeAndre played 1 year of college. I mean, there's a chance that DeAndre's ceiling is still very high, and maybe this is the best Luka will be. And that DeAndre has a ceiling that's even higher.
I mean, when you step back and look at it from 30,000 feet and you start thinking about the postseason that DeAndre Ayton has had, think about it. He's been matched up against Anthony Davis. He was matched up against Nikola Jokic. He's been, I would argue, their most consistently best player in the entire postseason. Consistently, from day one to now. They've played 6 games against the Lakers, 4 against the Nuggets, and now 2 against Clippers. So 12 playoff games so far. I think DeAndre Ayton has been their consistently best player game in and game out all postseason long. Devin Booker, let's be honest, he was good in the Nuggets series, but he didn't really need to take over a lot of those games. There were great games against the Lakers, some other not-so-great games. Last night's game wasn't a good one for Devin Booker. There were 2 games against the Lakers where DeAndre Ayton didn't have to do a whole lot. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe I'm not giving Devin Booker enough credit. But off the top of my head, I kind of feel like he's been their consistently best player.
Yeah.
Maybe not, again, not
consistently the best player. The best game by game, but consistently,
right,
over 12 games.
Over 12 games, who has been, over those whole 12 games, who has been their best player over those 12 games? I kind of feel like it's been DeAndre Ayton.
Most games with 20 points and a 70% field goal percentage or more in a postseason in the shot clock era, James Worthy has 6. DeAndre Ayton is 2nd in NBA history with 5, tied with Shaq, Kevin McHale, and Dwight Howard. 20 points and 70% field goal percentage in opposed to most games with 20 points and a 70% field goal percentage. He's shooting, was he 12 out of 15 last night?
Yeah, 12
like,
out of 15.
These numbers are mind-boggling. He's the first player in the shot clock era, which was 1954, with a 70-plus field goal percentage in any 12-game postseason span. Nobody's ever done that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's, it's not like, oh, Deion, okay, who had a bad game? Oh, Jay had a bad game last night. McHale had a bad game. They didn't shoot the ball very well. Booker didn't shoot the ball very well. He doesn't take shots from out there. To his credit, everything he's taken is around the basket, and my God, he barely ever misses.
And I guess that's what I mean. We have yet to say about DeAndre Ayton during this postseason, yeah, he didn't really have a good game last night. We haven't said that. Well, there were a couple of times where we said he didn't really do that much last night, but they didn't need him to. I can't think of one time during this postseason where we've come in here and talked about the bad game DeAndre Ayton had the night before, right? It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet. So we'll see. You could argue Devin Booker. Maybe I'm off my rocker when I say that about Ayton. Maybe not. During the Independence Day holiday, blood donations are at the lowest level of the summer. So please donate at Vitalant's Saving Arizona Blood Drive on Saturday, July 3rd from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tempe Center for the Arts. You'll be thanked with a free Whataburger voucher and a complimentary ticket to a future Coyotes game. He had a chance to seal the win for the Clippers. How will Paul George respond the rest of the series after failing in the clutch last night? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports breaking news.
Here it is from the Phoenix Suns verified Twitter account. Health update, game 3. Chris Paul, health and safety protocols probable for game 3 tomorrow.
Okay, there you go.
That, I think, is all the confirmation we need.
Okay.
Not that we needed it. You're reporting this morning, backed up by Chris Haynes reporting from Yahoo Sports. You're reporting this morning basically suggested that
he was a cardiac test away from clearing.
And Haynes backed it up with saying, okay, he's passed the cardiac part of the test. So those two components were kind of all that was left. And now when we talked to James Jones earlier in the show, 3:30, his exclusive chat with us every Wednesday, James had said, you know, I don't want to say anything. I can't make anything official. We'll have a health update coming up later this afternoon, sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. We just got it. Chris Paul is listed as probable for tomorrow's Game 3 against the L.A. Clippers.
All right. Well, that's the news we were waiting for. Now, we got to find out why probable. I mean, what is, you know, that? I mean, I'd like to know that. I mean, why probable?
I mean,
it's the same thing like they said earlier, unforeseen, in case that there's anything unforeseen that pops up between now and then.
I think that's the right answer to the question. I'll go back to the Yahoo Sports report. So your reporting this morning was that he was expected to be cleared.
Yes.
And he was just waiting to pass the cardiac testing. Chris Haynes had reported, barring a setback, he is expected to return for game 3. I think that's exactly what Jordan's saying. The reason he's probable, just in case there's some sort of a setback, just in case there's something unforeseen that doesn't allow him to play, it sounds like we can basically count on Chris Paul being in that game tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, I just wonder, you know, probable, what else could, you know, just doesn't say he's in, just as probable.
So, yeah.
I mean, he's going to play.
He's going to play.
It's, you know, listen.
Probable.
You and I have been doing this a long time.
You use the word probable, he's playing.
Yeah, let's read between the lines. He's cleared health and safety protocols. And he's got his 2 negative tests, and he's got his cardiac, and he's passed, and he's ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's good news. Chris Paul ready to go. He missed 2 games. We thought it was possible that he'd miss 1 or 2. We didn't think it was possible that he'd miss any more than that. He's about 10 days in, and he's ready to go. So Chris Paul back tomorrow. Bad news for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Bad news for the Clippers.
We were going to talk about Paul George here, but since this is the breaking news, we'll just kind of stay with this and talk about Chris Paul. We were going to talk about coming up anyway, Chris Paul and his return. What for bad news for the Clippers? Every single playoff series, every single playoff game is its own kind of thing, right? Is its own entity. What sort of a counter can Ty Lue possibly have for Chris Paul being on the floor in this series?
They're home, and then the role players who have not played well are going to have to play better because role players usually play better at home than they do on the road. They're not getting anything out of Marcus Morris. They're just not. This Terrence Mann, who is, I mean, you know, that was... I mean, that game he had with, was it 39 points filling in for Kawhi? He might not score 39 points this whole series against the Suns. He might not get to 39 for the series. So their role players just have to play better. What changes he makes with Chris Paul, I don't know. I mean, Pat Bev is a pest. He's a primary defender. But now you've got the 2 guards. Now you've got actually three. I don't even want to call it 2. They got a 3-headed weapon there with 3. You got to put campaign with how well he's played in there. But at any one time, the Suns are going to have 2 dominant guards on the court. Not 1, but they're going to have 2. And, you know, I could even say that yesterday when Payne was out there with Book. It was, you know, 2 guys that were very dominant. That's how they were able to win the game. Because Devin Booker didn't have a great game, but campaign did. And if Devin Booker doesn't have a good game tomorrow, Chris Paul could and campaign could. So there's just, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of answers. We talked about this yesterday. You brought up a story about, you know, is there any weakness in the Phoenix Suns? Man, I'm not finding one.
Like, no,
I'm not really finding a weakness. I mean, their best player can make 5 shots. Jay Crowder doesn't hit anything, and Mikal Bridges has, like, you know, hits 2 shots, and they win the basketball game. I mean, they got 5 baskets out of Booker, 2 out of Bridges, and none out of Jay Crowder. 7 baskets combined out of those 3 guys, and they won the basketball game. I mean, I just, you know, find a weakness for me. I don't see one.
It's been hard to find. I'll tell you this, and I know you brought this up earlier in the show. There was that stretch for Devin Booker after he got hit in the face and had to leave the game. It was a tie ball game when he left, and when he came back, the Suns actually had the lead. So they in that stretch, at least in terms of the scoreboard, they did all right without him. But I got some numbers here that a buddy of mine on Twitter tweeted out a little bit ago earlier today, and this is where Chris Paul is really going to help. So far in the first 2 games of this series, when Devin Booker hasn't been on the floor, a lot of the numbers kind of go down for the Suns. Their net rating, their offensive rating, their defensive rating, their true shooting percentage, all that stuff. What Chris Paul coming back allows them to do is never not have one of them on the floor, right? To never right. not have Chris Paul or Devin Booker on the floor at all times. And then that closing lineup. Now, for Cameron Payne, and credit Cameron Payne, in addition to having an unbelievable game yesterday, afterwards he also said, hey, I understand my place. I understand. I'm just keeping this thing warm until Chris Paul gets. He's going to see his minutes cut. He's not going to play as much. There's no way he can when Chris Paul comes back. But it
you might. I mean, I'll find this out. I won't be able to find this out. I mean, is there any limit on Chris? Like minutes played? He hasn't played in a while. He hasn't practiced in a while. I mean, are there any limitations on Chris? We got, you know, maybe he plays a little bit less in his first game back.
Maybe, but Cameron Payne is not playing 37 and a half minutes tomorrow night.
No.
And he's not getting up 24 shots tomorrow night. Meanwhile, on the injury front for the Clippers, and this is not going to surprise anybody, but I'm just passing it along. They released their injury report as well. Kawhi Leonard remains out for game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. And I was listening to Ramona Shelburne, our friend. She was on Bickley and Murata when I was driving in today. She's like, look, I'm not. She kind of used the same language that you like to use. I'm not reporting this. I'm just telling you right now, I don't think Kawhi Leonard's playing in this series. She goes, I'm not reporting that. I don't. I've just been covering this league long enough to know that there are certain things that are said and there are certain vibes that you get off of people. And the vibe I'm getting is that Kawhi Leonard is not going to be, you don't mess with ACLs. There's no such thing as an easy ACL injury to get over. I don't think, I'm not reporting it as fact. I'm just telling you, I don't think we're going to see Chris Paul.
That was
this was
a non-contact play, too.
Yeah, I know, which is yeah, especially nerve-wracking if you're a Clippers fan or if you're Kawhi Leonard.
Well, listen, if they lose the series to the Sun, that's their built-in excuse to try to keep that team together and say, hey, we would have won it all, but Kawhi was out. I mean, they, you know, there's a lot of teams with their what-ifs. That this is the first year the Suns don't have the what-if.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Somebody mentioned this a week ago. I can't remember who said, you know what? Great. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to remember, right?
Those fan bases will.
They will.
The Clippers fans will remember, hey, what if Kawhi Leonard? The Nuggets fan, what if Jamal Murray? The Lakers fans, what if Anthony Davis? Sure, those fan bases are all going to have their what if. The Nets fans, oh, what if Kyrie and Harden were, like, there's a lot of those fan bases will have what if. Just like the Suns have had what ifs.
Of course.
Those fan bases will have, we're not going to care.
We're not going to care.
We don't care.
And general NBA fan isn't going to care, right?
No,
NBA fan does not remember all of the injuries. They just would look at who is the champion of 2021, and that's it. That's all that matters. That's all they'll think about. You're right. Those individual fan bases will care. General NBA fan, they're not going to care one bit. Injuries, who cares? Who won?
Also,
who won the championship?
There
yes,
are
sir.
Like 14 Clippers fans, so you don't really need to worry about that fan base
13,
holding on to that.
13. Laverne died.
Oh, no, Laverne.
Laverne died a few years ago. But
R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah, Laverne.
So there you go.
So there's
Dirty Dozen.
13, yeah. Or Baker's
Pops and
Dozen.
Shops Incorporated. Laverne and Shirley. She was a big Clipper fan.
She was. Penny Marshall was. Mm-hmm. The late, great Penny Marshall was a big L.A.
Huge.
Clippers fan.
Huge. Love the Clips.
Billy Crystal is leading the charge now for the L.A. Clippers. When we come back, missed free throws for Paul George. The opportunity to win that game and to pass them by. How do they respond to that? How does he respond to that? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Phoenix Suns basketball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talk Suns in the playoffs now.
Getting set at the free throw line for his second. Paul George. George is ready. Here's the look. Here's the free throw. It won't go. Rebound comes down to the Suns, and they call a timeout. Oh, wow.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, oh, wow, it's bright.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you got to make those free throws. So, I mean, that's, you know, it. We had so much talk about Ben Simmons when he just completely annihilated the Sixers by himself. Single-handedly did the Sixers in not being able to make a free throw. Paul George has been a good free throw shooter. He missed 5 free throws last night and 2 at the worst time. I mean, he needed to make those 2, and it's very likely that the Clippers win. When he missed the first one, I was thinking, okay, you don't need a 3, you need a 2. That's what I'm thinking. You don't need a 3, you need a 2. Let's go to overtime. Let's go. Missed the second one. I'm like, oh, my God, they could win this thing with a 2. So that was, you know, that was what I was thinking. Now, still, there was plenty of time left. That's before Booker had the ball go out of bounds and things like that. No, that was after that. That was after that. Then they fouled Paul George.
Because remember, after the 2 missed free throws, it was the missed Mikal 3-pointer in the corner.
And then the ball off a man, and then the Suns got it with the, yeah. So that was what I was thinking. He missed the first one, I'm thinking, okay, you don't need a 3. Misses the second one, you're thinking, my God, you could win this damn thing with a 2.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul George, as good a player as he is, like, that could haunt you. Like, that could haunt you. He could be exhausted. He could be tired. His coach hinted that he was tired. Ty Lue after the game. He's had to carry this team for a while now without Kawhi Leonard. But, man, free throws. I mean, you make those free throws, it's very likely they end up winning that basketball game.
Yeah, I was listening to Michael Wilbon when I was driving in. He was on with Bickley and Murata today. He, of course, of ESPN, ABC, part of that coverage last night. And he said, look, we can sit here and talk about that play, DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, Devin Booker, the screen, legal, not legal, everything. He said, look, it comes down to one simple fact. Paul George hits 2 free throws, and none of it matters. None of it. It's a 1-1 series, and it's a totally different conversation. Paul George missed 2 free throws, and I think he really pressed after he missed the first one. I think the first one he missed, and in his mind he went, oh, crap, I can't miss the second one. And he kind of, you know, clutched up a little bit on the second one.
Listen, to the point where, a great rebound by Mikal Bridges goes unnoticed there. That ball hit the front of the rim, and it was coming right back to Paul George. Right back to him. And we've seen it happen a number of times where a guy misses a free throw, and it comes right back to him. Mikal Bridges wisely and smartly just got in front of him to make sure that if there was a rebound, he wasn't going to get it. And Mikal Bridges grabbed the rebound. Because Mikal Bridges was behind Paul George at the three-point line. And then once the shot goes, he went in for the rebound. He didn't do anything. It's almost like he didn't know he missed it. Because if you know you miss it, you might start to move towards the ball. He just stood there. Mikal Bridges went in and grabbed the rebound.
I tend to think it wasn't that he didn't move because he had let himself. He was like, shoot. You know, like as soon as he saw it bounce around, instead of reacting to it, he was kind of wallowing in his own sorrow a little bit. And Mikal Bridges, you're right. That is one of the sneaky, sneaky, sneaky great plays from that game last night. I mean, just real off the radar, real, not getting talked about a lot. You know,
it's a Larry Fitzgerald type of play. I'm gonna get the ball. I'm gonna run it to the referee, and we're gonna save time.
We're gonna center it up.
I'm gonna get
up.
That ball. Yep. I'm gonna call timeout. Like
that's a good call.
It was a Fitz type of play.
That's a good call.
Heads up, the basketball IQ,
like
the football IQ.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? Smart play. You got to make it. He made the play.
Look, and I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for Paul George. I'm not at all. Those are free throws that has to be made. But a couple of things about Paul George. I mean, number one, he has played a huge amount of minutes the last 4 games that he's played. I think he's been over 40 minutes in 3 of the 4. Ty Lue, you mentioned it. He said something about fatigue. And, yeah, there's no question Paul George is a little fatigued. Ramona Shelburne was also on our station earlier today, and she said, look, Paul George isn't the alpha male. Kawhi Leonard is the alpha male. And Paul George probably isn't used to being the man in these moments. And he's done a really good job being the man in those 2 games against Utah, in the first game against the Suns, being the man in the absence of Kawhi Leonard. It's not a role that he typically plays. Usually he's better off as kind of the number 2 to whoever the number 1 is, and that the pressure of being the guy, right? The pressure of being the one who has to make the free throws, it didn't work out.
Well, I'll put it this way, too, with the Mikal's, and I was thinking about this, Mikal's rebound.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson doesn't make that play. TJ Warren doesn't make that play.
Wow.
Kelly Oubre doesn't make that play. You're talking about getting the right wings, making the right decisions.
Yeah.
You know, you got a basketball IQ, smart players. I don't think I don't think the other three players that they that used to play the wings for the Suns make that play.
The one stat about, well, there, I mean, there's a million of them, so I don't want to say that there's just one. The Phoenix Suns have won 9 straight games. In that span, they have trailed in the fourth quarter for 30 seconds.
Is that all?
The 30 seconds they trailed in the fourth quarter last night was the only time during the 9-game win streak they have trailed.
You're going to make me think now. So last night,
you're going to try to verify that number?
No.
Your notebook?
No, I'm just looking at the game. Okay. I'm looking at the game. So they're up 75-71 last night. And yeah, no point did. You astutely brought up a couple of the. Every time the Suns got it to 6, they'd hit a 3. So they got it to 6, say 86-79, Reggie Jackson hits a 3-pointer. They get it to 88-82, somebody else hits a 3-pointer. They get it to 93-87, Pat Beverly hits a 3-pointer. They get it to 96-90, Paul George hits a 3-pointer. They hit 4 3-pointers down 6 in that game.
Yeah.
For some reason, I did not write the name down of the guy that hit it that made it 88-85. But
Kennard.
Reggie,
it was Luke Kennard.
Say Reggie Jackson hit a 3 when they were down 6. Luke Kennard hit a 3 when they were down 6. Pat Bev hit a 3 when they were down 6. Paul George hit a 3 when they were down 6. Just to the point that this team just won't go away.
Nope.
6 turns into 9 or 8, like you feel like you got raw budget. 6 turns into 3. It's a one possession game.
Yep.
Like this team does not want to go away. They just don't.
And for all the criticism for Paul George, you do have to give the LA Clippers credit for that. They have played the Phoenix Suns incredibly hard these last 2 days.
They're so even. But now it becomes a lot. It's not even anymore. Chris Paul is back and Kawhi Leonard's not. An all-star Hall of Fame player who is playing at a really high level is back. And that so now it's not an even. It shouldn't be even.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be even. It should be an advantage. These first two games were very even. The next game should be an advantage for the Suns. Yes, the Clippers are home, and they're going to be mad, and they're going to play like hell because they've been down 2-0 before, and maybe that comes into factor. But if the Suns win this game 3, boy, can you imagine them taking another short series?
And the rest that they would get. This was the game for the Clippers to steal. The Suns were 6-26 from the three-point line.
Uh-huh.
Booker, 5-16. He had 7 turnovers. He had to get stitches. After the collision, 7 combined points from Bridges and Crowder. This was the game to steal for the LA Clippers, and they missed their chance. Yeah, the 30 seconds, the only 30 seconds the Suns have trailed was after Paul George hit the shot, right, to make it 103-102.
But I have 21.8 seconds left there. Is that wrong?
Well, no. Paul George had a layup that made it 101-100.
Oh, I see it. Yep.
Booker has the pull-up shot. Then Paul George has the shot. So basically, those 30 seconds from Paul George's running layup, outside of the 4 seconds when the Suns took the lead back,
yeah,
that's the only time. The only time.
So they're up 101-100, 103-102, and that's the only time they've been up during this streak.
During a 9-game win streak. They haven't trailed in the fourth quarter except for that.
This lack of experience is really killing the Suns right now. These guys haven't been here before. They don't know what to do in these situations.
It was garbage. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, one last look at the play and how it happened, the Valley Oop, and then a tip of the cap as well to the Valley. The people who were there last night and who have been there every night during this run so far, because in many ways, you're just as much the story. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Phoenix Suns basketball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talks Suns in the playoffs. Now.
When Booker hits the mid-range with about 27 seconds to go, the place goes nuts. When Paul George misses the 2 free throws, I in the moment I tweeted out, man, it sounds like the Suns just won the finals in here with how loud it is in this building. Then the play, the Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton, the Devin Booker screen, the dunk, the alley-oop, the valley-oop to win the game, the place went meltdown mode.
Berserk.
I don't know how long you stayed after the game, but Ayton does the post-game interview with ESPN.
I got out of there pretty quick after it was over.
As he's coming off the court for that, the place goes nuts. There were about, I don't know, 2,000 fans or so who hung around for Cameron Payne's interview with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter. They went nuts for him as he was running off. The story beneath the story of the Suns 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals, and this is meant as no disrespect for people who can't get there. We understand not everybody is able to get to the building. But for the people who have, you are becoming part of the story. You are a part of
this. Not becoming. You are a part of the story. Not becoming. They've been a part of the story since the Lakers series.
Fair.
Everybody's been raving about, even I think it was the Lakers. I got to get out to one of these games. I got to get people just like if you they want to be there. Screw like, oh, forget about just going to L.A. I don't care how hot it is in Phoenix. I want to see what that's like. I've never been in a building. You know, there's a lot of times you say in life, oh, man, I want to watch a game at Cameron Indoor with the Cameron Crazies. People have done it for decades. You got a bucket list of sports places. I'm going to go to a Yankees Red Sox game with how intense that is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Cameron to go watch Duke against North Carolina. I want to go to Ohio State against Michigan. Like there are certain venues you look at and say, why do you want to be there? Because the crowd,
sure.
The atmosphere. This is becoming like it doesn't matter who they're playing. You just want to be. I want to be at a Suns game in the playoffs because the atmosphere is unreal. You couldn't hear yourself think.
No.
Now the fascinating part. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, back in the late '90s. You know, with Jerry and Brian Colangelo, they had to push out some of the older people that were, you know, that would show up with their tuna fish sandwiches and a bottle of water and not spend any money on concessions
and not buy a hat.
They wouldn't pay for parking. They'd park down the block. They didn't want to spend any money.
Complain when people wouldn't stand up in front of them, right?
Sit down. Those people, they would show up with the turkey sandwich. They didn't want to spend money on concessions or a hat or a T-shirt. So they priced those people out on purpose because they needed to get rid of them. They needed a younger crowd. This crowd's even different than the Suns crowd back in the Steve Nash days 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's even better.
It's younger. It's got more energy. It's more, we were talking about this earlier with Bickley and Murata, it's more diverse. Michael Wilbon was on Bickley and Murata's show today, of course, from ESPN. He was there last night in the building. In fact, if you have not seen the picture of Michael Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith's face after the play with DeAndre Ayton, it's on ArizonaSports.com in the Haboob blog. Just you'll find it. You'll see it. It's very the picture, the look on Stephen A. and Michael Wilbon's face after DeAndre throws that dunk down. It is priceless. Here's what Wilbon said today about the crowd.
And I was there for 92, and I was there for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It has never been as explosive a place to me as it was last night. Tell me if I'm crazy.
But you know you're right on the money.
You're not crazy.
You're right on the money.
It sounded like an East Coast city. It sounded like a Boston, Philly, New York, Chicago, Detroit crowd. It did not sound like, you know, L.A.'s never that loud. Never. They can't show that kind of emotion. But that place last night, man, that I was like, it was like thunder in there.
That might be the biggest compliment you could pay to Phoenix Suns Arena.
Compare
and Phoenix
them to
Suns
East Coast.
Fan. Uh-huh. You know. You lived back
sure.
there. You lived it.
Sure.
You know what that's all about, right? Mm-hmm. That's a Philly crowd. That's a Boston crowd. That's a New York crowd. These are things that aren't said about Phoenix,
you know what
Arizona,
was said about,
typically.
You know what was said about Phoenix, Arizona's inability to be like that? Everybody's transient. Everybody's
somebody
from somewhere else.
Right,
they're always
right.
Your second favorite team, your third favorite team. You know, I used to say 20, 25 years ago, I swear to God, I used to say this. Like, one day it could be like that. You know what's going to happen? You know, our kids have to grow up. Our kids have to be the ones that grow up in our, that were born in Arizona. When you were born in Chicago or you were born in New York or you were born in Milwaukee, you came here, but your kids didn't grow up going to Brewers games or Cubs games or Bulls games or Knicks games or anything like that. Your kids grew up going to Diamondbacks and Suns games and Cardinal games and Coyote games.
So maybe that's what we're seeing.
We're seeing that.
In addition to being more diverse ethnically, okay, you're also seeing a crowd that was probably 10 to 15 years old during the Nash era. And now they are 25 to 30
and
years
working,
old.
They make their own money. They go to the games. They buy their own tickets.
And for them, the Suns, they grew up loving the Suns because they grew up on Nash Suns, on Amari Suns, on Marion Suns.
Not on their dad's Bulls.
Right.
Not on their dad's Knicks.
And not on my Suns. Not on the Barkley Suns. They grew up on the Nash Suns. So for them, to your point, they're from here. And the Suns are their first love from when they were kids. And now they go to these games and they root for the Suns like it's their first love.
Think about my children. Okay, I have a 26-year-old, I have a 25-year-old. Okay, they were both born in New York. They moved when they were like 3 and 2. They moved to New York, from New York to here. They didn't grow up going to Yankee Stadium. They didn't grow up going to see the Knicks play. They grew up watching the Suns play.
Right.
My daughter Gabriella was a ball girl for the Suns for a game, passing the ball to Steve Nash. My daughter, they saw the Diamondbacks. They saw their favorite teams. The Arizona teams.
Yeah.
This is what they grew up with. Their dad liked the New York teams, but they grew up with the Arizona teams.
And they had the benefit of having a team to root for when they were younger that was great.
Yes.
7 seconds or less. That mm-hmm. was an era.
Yeah, they loved the Suns, the Phoenix teams.
Because they were so popular. They were huge. They were superstars on that team. A fun brand of basketball. They grew up on that.
And you can't brainwash them anymore because they're not 10. As a parent, you can't brainwash them to like your teams because they're not 10 years old anymore.
Time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Let's go.
1.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. The Atlanta Hawks are losing to the Milwaukee Bucks, 21-20. Game basically just started.
It's over. What? 1 point lead with a three quarters left.
Oh, yeah, with 3 quarters left.
Listen,
21-20, the Bucks are leading right now.
If the Suns were not in this, I would root for the Bucks. Milwaukee never has anything good happen to them. I'd root for the Bucks. But because Milwaukee's good, I'm going to root for the Hawks.
Because you want to play Atlanta.
Yep.
As do I. That's going to do it for us. Big Red Rage is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow, straight up 2 o'clock, here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.